I'm Joseph Taylor. I'm the Vice President of Benton Harbor Area School Board of Education.
Okay. And how did you first hear about this plan that the state has come up with?
Wow. So I heard about that through people who said that people had been interviewed in the community. So the board never knew what was going on. It was rumors and innuendos. And after I went to the state of Michigan last Friday, then they sprung it on us. So that's how I found out.
So the state was coming to Benton Harbor and talking to people in the community?
Yes. And they never gave current leadership awareness that they would be here in discussions for closure of our high school.
Okay. And what was your initial reaction to that?
My reaction was, how could you be so mischievous? But I know the past history of MDE, Michigan Department of Education, and the state. So I know that they could be wicked at times. And I really didn't want to go to that Friday meeting after I found out that they had been in our community asking people about the plan to close the high school. So, I was taken aback and really didn't want to even entertain the option of speaking to them.
But you did go, and how did that meeting go?
So the meeting initially was set up with the Department of Treasury a month ago with Rachel Eubanks, the treasurer. We were discussing ways to, help Benton Harbor Area Schools out financially, and she was going to come back with a report. So we assumed this meeting was going to be with the treasurer, but they flipped it on us, okay? And so when we got there, they said, things happen. If you take this $10.8 to $11 million, that can relieve you of your financial loans from the state of Michigan. But in order to take the deal, we would have to close your high school, and you can keep your K through 8th. And they stated that our local legislators, which I assume is Wendell and Lasada, said that they'll push this bill through legislation to get it passed.
So they, the legislators were in on this as well.
Oh yes, they were. They were in on it from lock, step, and barrel. Myself and Board President Stephen Mitchell reached out over a month and a half ago to those same two legislators I just mentioned. They never got back to us. We says, hey, how can you help us as our local representation? Because issues are going on, when the board June 30th takes the helm back, or powers, and we just wanted help. But they never returned our call, they never emailed us, but yet they went behind our back with the state of Michigan to come up with this devious plan.
So there's been other plans to try to help Benton Harbor before. I don't think anyone would disagree that there's been some problems within the school district. Can you tell me a little bit about these other plans, most recently the partnership agreement, and what problems they were trying to solve it and how they were doing?
So the plans with the state of Michigan started actually in 2014. We first started with a financial emergency deemed by the Treasury Department, then agreed to by Governor at that time Snyder. And that consisted of a consent agreement with Treasury and Benton Harbor Area Schools. Then in the 2017 era, we went to a partnership agreement with Michigan Department of Education, which was supposed to be for a 36-month period of turnaround. But before we can finish the partnership agreement, within the first 12 months or so, then MDE comes back and puts another spin on and says, well, the School Resource Reform Office, SRO, wants to create what's called a cooperative agreement, which we are currently in. That cooperative agreement was forced on the district because they told us if we did not accept it, the school reform office, under the guidance of MDE, they would close our school down. So they sent parents letters saying, here's a list of schools, send your kids elsewhere, right? And with this cooperative agreement, we were forced to take Dr. Herrera, right? We were told there were going to be 5 candidates. We get to Lansing, there's only 1, right? So think about that switch game. But so the cooperative agreement was supposed to put a superintendent / CEO in place, right? And the board would have no powers anymore except to advise. Our only 2 powers would be taxation, right? and borrowing. Other than that, the CEO had the helm. He was responsible for education, fiscal responsibility, which under his leadership, we actually, our deficit went up. And the claim was from Dr. Herrera to the state of Michigan Board of Education meeting last month or so, was that Benton Harbor Area School is almost 50% proficient with the national standards. So they say that we're not educating, right? That's what MDE just said. But Dr. Herrera's report to the State Board of Education stated otherwise.
What is, as someone who's on the board, what do you see as the reality of education and fiscal responsibility at Benton Harbor School? What does it actually look like from inside your position?
Wow. So the reality is that we have 40% substitute teachers in this district. How can we truly educate the best we can with 40% of substitutes in a district, right? And fiscally, the Board of Education for the last year, we've been out of the helm. So it's hard to really give you a definite answer on that when we have not been responsible. We have not been even a part of the conversation of fiscal responsibility. But to take you back to, for example, the 2016-2017 school year, we closed buildings, right? We reconfigured our schools to help with fiscal responsibility. Our students' growth at third grade and all grades were higher than they are today on the 2018-2019 school year since Dr. Herrera has taken over.
So the numbers that the Michigan Department of Treasury are coming out with is that I think it was 5% of third graders are reading on level and no 11th graders are ready for college and $16 million in debt. Is that accurate?
You know what? So the $16 million in debt is probably accurate because we owe almost $11 million in loans, right? And as far as the 11th graders, you know, that's hard to really swallow because sometimes on the day-to-day, we don't know. And we definitely didn't know this year because we've been out of the loop. But I would say this, the state of Michigan, our third graders, our testing for third graders is abysmal, right? Coming up in the 2019-2020 school year, third graders will be held back in this state because of testing. But to give you some real nuts and bolts on this, third graders are 50% are failing in the state of Michigan. So when they talk about Benton Harbor only meeting 5%, go after the rest of the 45%. Because if 50% of our third graders are losing out or not testing appropriately on the third grade tests, then someone's telling a falsehood. So why come after us? Why not go after the other schools as well?
So this plan that the Michigan Department of Education and the Michigan Department of Treasury have come up with to close the high school, how do you, the board wrote a letter, but how do you feel about that plan?
I think that's the dumbest plan you can come up with. I think if MDE, Michigan Department of Education, was educationally sound, this state wouldn't be in the 45 percentile of all states. So we're not performing well as a state. And let's not throw the blame just at Benton Harbor, right? But you, when you get rid of a high school from a community, you really decimate a community. And people on the air have to understand that Benton Harbor Area Schools is not the city of Benton Harbor. Benton Harbor Area Schools goes almost 50 miles, okay? It consists of Benton Charter Township, St. Joseph Township. It consists of Benton Harbor, Sodus Township, Hagar. This is a big school district. So it doesn't just impact the 49022 in a 4x4 mile radius, the city of Benton Harbor. It affects lots of schools. But back to your question. So if you take away a high school, you desecrate the community. And really think about it. Have they asked the other taxpayers, not those boards, such as Bridgman, I think was on the list, St. Joe, et cetera. How do those taxpayers feel about these students coming into their district, right? Is it plausible for them? Do they want these kids in their district? So I think this is a way just to disenfranchise us, and it's a way to help the other districts, which based on the state data, all districts are losing students. And so now we're gonna help those districts, right? Keep their budget intact while we get dissolved and take away a community school, and others get to benefit.
You did mention earlier that 40% of the teachers at Benton Harbor are subs, and there's a national teacher shortage. It's not just a problem in Benton Harbor. But could part of the solution be fewer schools sending these kids out into other high schools, because then there's more teachers for those schools?
That could be, but if you think about it, how many of these other schools really understand the culture and climate of our students, right? Every city, every state is different, and every school is different. And so some of our kids have a lot of trauma, right? When you talk about mental health issues, things like that, when you talk about what the state, treasury, and MDE has proposed, that just created more trauma. Right? So they're really not thinking about the kids. They're really thinking about hurting the kids. This has been in the making for years. And by the way, if they close the school, our teachers lose their jobs. If they close the high school, the janitors lose their jobs. Security lose their jobs. Administration lose their jobs. So really, is this really helping anyone? And it's always like, ooh, look at those poor Black kids. Look at those poor Latino kids. Look at those poor Caucasian kids at Benton Harbor area schools. We have to help them. I think if they want to really help us, right, then do us right and help us to achieve educationally what we need. You brought up a great point. Teacher shortages are across this country, but they're more so in the urban areas. And so that high school is in an urban area, right? So help us to define MDE, help us to define how we can create a grade plan that'll bring in young teachers, right, to help us, you know, with this shortage, because that's the main issue. You can't gauge us, state of Michigan, and say our kids are scoring low on a third grade test, or our 11th graders haven't passed a state standardized test. You need to find ways to help us, because you know that by having 40% of substitute teachers, there's no way we can pass the test. How can you pass a test with a substitute that only is required by law to have 90 credits, right? And know nothing about teaching and education. So I think that even though the other districts could have certified teachers in place, they're not prepared to deal with the culture and climate of our students. And maybe they're not even prepared to teach our students. But the teachers in our district, they are. Right, because they're used to this fight, they're used to helping, and they understand our students, and they understand the background and the hurt and pain that they bring when they come into the school, you know, from their households.
So that cultural element is something that the board mentioned in the letter. What else kind of leans into that? Because I know Benton Harbor is a district that has way more students of color than any of these other districts that they're proposing sending students to. What other effects could that have on that element?
Oh my gosh. You know, the state of Michigan said, we'll bring in a culture and climate type of person, right, to be the mediator for schools so it can be an easy transition. Well, I don't think that's going to work. They also mentioned that we'll try to send the kids to a school that looks like you. We says, well, where is that school at, right? And so I think it's going to be a hardship on a lot of people, right? I think that districts that already accept students for school of choice kind of understand some of that culture and climate, but some of those kids come to them at a younger age, right? Now you got to take high school students, right? And they're not coming to you as kindergarten. They're coming to you with their minds made up of whatever they want to do, whatever music they listen to, whatever they like or dislike. I think that's going to be a shock for not only our students, but for those students that are in those potential communities that would take our kids. And also, I think what they haven't really thought about was, you know, you have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly when you accept students, whatever that is, right? So I think they need to rethink that.
So if closing the high school isn't the solution, what do you see as a solution to help Benton Harbor schools? What does the state need to do to make this district better to help its students?
I think they need to help us find an innovative approach to acquire 40% certified teachers or student teachers. I think that we need to go back into the partnership agreement that they pulled us out of, and that's what the State Board of Education is going to do in July 1st anyways. So allow us to go back into the partnership. Give us a chance to prove the state and Department of Treasury wrong, right? Let us try to create those gains for the next couple of years. And then if it doesn't work out, then hey, shame on us, right? We can't speak anymore after that. But give us a chance, knowing that the group dynamics that we have down here, you know, with instruction, with people leaving, you know, just in the last several years, we've had 100 people resign. So think about that. So that's affecting our kids. That's not the fault of our kids, right? So I think there's a way to work this out fiscally, and there's a way to work this out educationally, but we have to be given a chance to do so. They can't just come up and say, let's take a school out, when they know that there have been people wanting that land for a long time. Who those people are, I don't know. But they know it because they mentioned that in the meeting last week at the State of Michigan.
Yeah, that was another thing I wanted to touch on. It was something that was in the letter that the board wrote about the land that Benton Harbor High School sits on. Can you just kind of walk me through what the issue is there?
So the issue was the big elephant in the room. And so MDE and Treasury, or I should say the governor's office, when they came down to do their secret interviews, they stated that members of the community, you know, business people, they didn't say what or which businesses, you know, talked about, you know, the high school not being there because it would impact the riverfront development that's about to happen, right? They didn't want to see any black kids, you know, hanging out down there at the riverfront, things like this. And this is what came out the mouths of the governors. I was going to say flunkies, I can't say that, of the governor's people to us. And so that's where that came from in our letter, because we're like, well, wow, you mentioned all of this. So is there a big elephant in the room? We know in the past, people have wanted the land. And so because it would be a great piece of land, right, to start to develop, create a midtown to go towards downtown. And so when they said, we'll just take the high school away and allow you to keep your K-8, that's really suspicious, right? Because why not say, oh, you guys have all these buildings. Hull School, for example, holds 900 people. Why couldn't they say, put your kids in Hull School, right? And maybe they could have stated that the high school that needs $5 million in heating repairs, and it would cost you $30 million to, you know, fix up. Why didn't they make that excuse and say it's really too much to really fix the school, but you should move to another school? That would have been more plausible. But to say that to just close the high school and keep a K-8, that's really suspicious.
Could that be a solution, moving the high school into a different school building? Because as you said, that building is large and in need of definite repairs, and it's kind of too big for the student body.
Right. I think So what we did with the in the past, we put our seventh and eighth graders, I believe, or eighth graders in that high school to try to fill up the space. Well, that didn't work because we lost a lot of students because taxpayers says, wait a minute, you got our kids in here with these high schoolers and this school is not really made and created that way. But you just said a good point. Okay, so if we need more work at the high school, if our population, for example, is 700 and in a building that could fit 2,000 people, a good solution would be then to help us build another school, right? We have 143 acres out here, right? That could be a plausible idea. And we already have our elementary schools and our 7th and 8th grade center. So if you really wanted the high school, then make a deal, right? Don't just try to close it and send our kids elsewhere for the benefit of other tax entities and to help them out while we lose out. And I think that would be a good solution. It's just an idea for me, but I think we must have a high school. That's a no-brainer.
What other issues do you see? I know this meeting, this public meeting that's coming up next week, you're asking the governor to come. What do you think she will hear, what do you think the benefit of having her come to that would be?
I think that if she's behind this devious plot, she needs to come and listen, because they didn't listen to the people, right? There was a student on the news the other day that said, they never talked to us. I'm a third grader. They never asked us what we want, right? And so Governor Whitmer needs to come here, because she made statements. She came to Benton Harbor to try to get elected. I spoke to her, right? She says, hey, I want to help out the disadvantaged. I want to help out school systems that, you know, for example, look like Benton Harbor. So we want her to keep her word. We want her to hear from the people. We're going to have people up here from Ecorse, from Inkster, from Flint, from Saginaw, all the districts of color that have been desecrated by this state of Michigan.
What do you think is the likely outcome of what's going on right now?
So when you say likely outcome, you mean what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good question. I think anything can happen. But one thing that I know is that the Board of Education has to approve this plan, right? So it's not up to the state. Those are just words that they're given. It's the Board of Education that has to say yay or nay, right? And I think what happens is you have to put the pressure on the throat of those in power who come up with devious plots like this. And the pressure's on them right now, right? The pressure's on the governor. She's been in office for 6 months, and she's making a bad decision. We're giving her a chance to redirect that decision, come back to the table with a better option of what they've given us so far, because I think that will impact her in the next 4 years for maybe not even getting reelected. So the pressure's on. We demand, right, for her to come down and talk about this devious plot that she's behind, that she's backed, you know, through her cronies. It's time for her to stand up and listen to the people.
Okay, I think that's all the questions that I have for you. Is there anything you wanted to add? Something that I didn't ask that maybe I should have?
You know what? I would just say that what I want to add is that things are always more than meets the eye, right? Media, for example, can sway things. It's like almost like the president says, fake news. A lot of times you get fake things from states. Fake things when they want to do certain things, right? They manipulate the data. Department of Treasury has been down here since January in our books and finances. We don't have a consent agreement. That agreement was dissolved back in the fall of 2018. Why were they in our district? Why didn't the Board of Education know about that? Dr. Herrera knew about that because he's part of the plot. He's put here in order to sabotage the school. Everyone knows it, right? There's also 120 students that he stated were full-time students. An FTE money of $7,500 per student was counted. The state comes back and says we have to do an audit because we think that's incorrect. If the audit comes out not in your favor, that's another $1 million that you have to pay us back. That's under Dr. Herrera's watch, not the board. He was in charge. That's a plan that's on purpose. When you look back at the state treasurer a year ago, not the new state treasurer, he stated, we're leaving the consent agreement. Michigan Department of Education and Benton Harbor Area Schools has a plan for education and fiscal accountability, okay? And so we no longer need to be there, all right? So then the state of Michigan Department of Treasury came up to us probably around March, spoke to the board and says, you guys have about 2.5 more years of finances and then you'll be running out of money. Now, when I went to the meeting last week to talk with the Treasury and the governor's office, they stated, oh, you'll be out of money by spring of 2020. See, these people always come up with lies and manipulation. They're down here in our books with their hands, because they're making sure that they can take us out. You have to understand, this is a wicked game. And that's how they play. They've been playing it like this way. But we thought that this new governor, a Democratic governor, which by the way, I voted for, we thought that she was going to change her tone and speak truth to power that she spoke. But we see that she's just as bad as our past, her past predecessors. But I'm hoping that she proves me wrong. And for those who voted in this area, because Benton Harbor, Benton Township is a Democratic stronghold, we helped Governor Whitmer get in office. So she owes her allegiance to us, to help us, for giving her a vote. And I want to end with a quote, because I think the people who are listening need to understand this. True reality is usually scoffed at. An illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of civilization, it will be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine the future will bring. Thank you so much.
Thank you.